Smile by the Supernaturals. I love that track. It's one of my favourites. It does exactly what it says on the tin. I am joined now by Mr. Richard Herring. Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm a bit hungover, but I'm all right.
Are you? Will it affect you with joy?
Good.
I'm usually a miserable person, but I'm in quite a good mood today.
Oh, that's nice to know.
I think it's because I've had 4 of my 5 a day already.
Have you? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Have you had any?
Good work. I've had some blueberries and some grapes, so that probably counts.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah,
one or two.
Blueberries count as like 7 as well, don't they?
Well, you know, I've read Bad Science by Ben Geldacre now, so I'm suspicious of all these claims. Well, they're meant to have antioxidants in them, aren't they? But there's no real proof.
Now. Oh, really?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's not true.
Yeah, I had...
There's no proof of God, is there? But he's true. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that for the next hour.
So moving on.
It's Sunday, come on.
Well, that's, you know, if you are going to do it, now's the time to do it. Because the people who get offended should be in church, really. As regards berries,
yes.
Are smoothie companies allowed to... Because I bought a smoothie, and I won't mention the brand, but it had Yum Yum berries in it.
Oh, yeah.
And now that can't exist. There's no way there's a Yum Yum berry.
All berries are Yum Yum berries.
Exactly. So it's either just... you can't just make up a berry, can
we'll
you?
We're going to Google it. Yum Yum berries.
Oh, I mean, they were tasty.
They're probably from the heart of the... Amazon rainforest, the yum yum.
Yeah, and there's only about 12, and we've had all of them.
A type of blueberry. They're a new superfruit, so you've got to be suspicious of these. It doesn't mean anything. People call these things.
Yeah,
there needs to be scientific evidence. You should read Bad Science by Ben Goldacre. It's a very good book.
Are you on commission for that book?
No, I've just enjoyed it. I read it on holiday, and I've enjoyed it very much.
Holiday recently?
Yeah, I went to Grenada over Christmas and New Year.
Nice, how was that?
Very good. I just sat on a beach and read books and drank cocktails.
There's a real split on holidays, isn't there? There's people who go on holiday specifically to do that, and I'm right in that camp.
Yeah.
I want to sit in the sun and not do anything, and there's people who want to do stuff.
Yeah.
And if those two collide, it's terrible.
It is. Yeah. Luckily, we both, me and my girlfriend, wanted to do nothing, which was worked. But sometimes I want to do stuff. We went to Sicily last year and did all stuff. But,
right.
But it was just really good to just not do anything at all.
Yeah.
In fact, we only left the hotel once. It was like quite a hideaway hotel, and we only left it once.
Wow.
In 2 weeks.
So yeah.
We really did nothing.
It's one of the things that you feel like you should be embarrassed, but one of the best holidays I ever had was just first time I'd ever gone all-inclusive at a hotel.
Yeah.
And I just didn't realise how good it... I didn't realise, first of all, that inclusive... Included drink,
yeah.
Which is just as soon as you've taught them how to make White Russians, that's the holiday over with. And they just, yeah, all meals, all inclusive.
Do they start getting grumpy with you as you took too much advantage of the offer?
They were
decided to not do that anymore.
What was worse was that everyone else started having White Russians because they had all the liqueurs. Because I can speak a bit of Spanish, I was sort of nice with them, so I said, "Oh, can you put a bit of that with a bit of that, and then top it up with milk?" And they were like, "Yeah, whatever, dude." They didn't reply in Spanish. But then everyone else saw me and thought, well, I'll have one of them. So they were saying, and that's when, you know, it got a bit, people got out of hand. And, you know, one guy got one and took it up to bed with him and thought with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend looked at him as if to say, we're on holiday. And that is the most you've smiled since we got here. What we're chatting about today is anything, generally,
okay,
but mainly geeks. How did we get... Oh, there was a team on Eggheads this week. Do you like Eggheads?
I do watch it occasionally, and I've seen 2 of the Eggheads in real life. You know, I don't know their name. You know, one of the... You know, I can't remember his name. He's not Christopher...
Not Kevin.
Kevin. Is it Kevin? The one
Kevin
who's really
Ashman.
Good.
He's yeah. the best Egghead.
But I was in somewhere like Portsmouth and doing a gig, and I went for a Pizza Express, and he was sitting in Pizza Express on his own, eating Pizza Express, with a book of facts.
I love Kevin Ashman.
And he was learning facts as he ate. Pete's good. He's obviously been paid a bit. He goes out for dinner
doing
at Pizza
all right.
Express, not Pizza Hut.
That came up this week on Eggheads, that he doesn't really cook very much. His fridge is always empty.
No,
he likes to eat out.
Well, Pizza Express he goes to, if you want to catch him.
What, Pizza Express in Portsmouth.
And I've seen the other one, the rubbish one. Service station. The one who's...
CJ. Yeah.
He's rubbish.
There shouldn't be,
I saw him and he was really showing off in the service station with a young man who I presume may have been a good friend of his.
A PA?
It could have been.
Yeah. He's a dislikable character. It's unfortunate.
He's sort of the most arrogant but the least good.
When they used to do a thing where they used to introduce them and they used to have to say what they've won, and most of them were like, oh, brain of Britain and brain of the world and brain of the universe. And he'd really arrogant go, I've twice won 15-1. And then all these quizzes that no one's heard of, like on Channel 5. You go, whatever, CJ. So, we'll play a track that has been in my head already all week, Stronger Than Jesus, since we've been talking about the Lord. And then we'll chat about Are you have any geeky confessions? Or
I'll have a think. I probably do.
Have a
I
think. I'd also like you to judge our good deed of the week. We like to encourage people to just show off for the right reasons when they've done something nice. So we've got a final of four people who've done good deeds during the week, and you can pick who's been best. This is Stronger Than Jesus by Acamp. That's Stronger Than Jesus, love. Did you know that love is stronger than Jesus, Richard?
I think even Jesus might claim that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That love is stronger than Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, I suppose you're right, yeah.
You know, that's what he was kind of about.
It's pretty much his USP, isn't it? It was. His message. So, good deeds. This is what four of our listeners have done this week.
Yeah.
One guy works in hospital radio and devoted 15 minutes of his time talking to someone who's lonely. We had a listener who tried to push a lady in a wheelchair up a curb.
Okay, that was going a different way, I thought, for a second. Push her off the cliff.
No, I was going to say, it's a curb she wanted to be on.
Okay.
But the caveat is he failed, and it was a 14-year-old girl who eventually pushed the wheelchair up. But that meant he lost his masculinity, despite trying to do a good deed.
Yeah.
One guy who, on a walk to the shop, encountered a lady whose motorbike was broken, pushed her bike up the hill so she could get home.
Yeah.
And a guy...
I think he had ulterior motives, that guy.
Yeah, yeah. He clears up that they'd already talked about... It sounds like she said very early on, oh, my mobile's dead, I can't phone my boyfriend. As if that... I've got a boyfriend. And a guy who was behind someone who was €2 short on his weekly shop in an Amsterdam supermarket, who just gave him the €2. Fine.
None of them are very good, are they?
Which is the most not good?
The most not good.
The most gooder.
The most good.
The gooderest.
I think.
Which would you?
I think that probably the. I think because the hospital DJ did not have any. The other guy was just trying to get the motorbike back to a house and go, I've got a husband, but.
Yeah.
He's obviously not in.
Where was he when the bike needed pushing?
So I think that someone talking to someone lonely is a beautiful thing.
Well, that was Tom. So Tom wins our good person of the week. More interesting today is geek of the week. We've got people, the winner so far is someone, Nicola Morrison in Shipley. I love fungus, but mainly weird toadstools and any kind of spore will excite me. Have you got anything you're into? Oh, that's where we're talking about the Eggheads team.
Yeah.
They're a team of research mathematicians.
Yeah.
Who made no apology, didn't try and act cool, just said, we're research mathematicians, and went into some detail about a biscuit World Cup that they'd had at work to find the world's best biscuit. And I just thought, you know, it's a good way of showing that you don't need to be ashamed of geeky things that you're into. It makes the world go round, people being into all different things, doesn't it?
It does. Well, I think, you know, often these geeky people are very cool. Me and Stuart Lee, who's to double act with, were in an audio episode of Doctor Who before it became trendy again.
Yeah.
And so we were on a CD where we played kind of space plumbers. I had my head pulled off by a Cyberman, but oof, only in sound.
Stinger.
I had to imagine that crushed by a...
Can you remember what noise you made?
I did. It was hard. I had to think about what noise would I make as...
it's coming out of the severed head, is it?
Well, you know, it crushed my head. So as he was crushing my head, I had to go... But I was really imagining... that was just... I had to build
method
up to it. Yeah, I had to build it. That wasn't it.
Did you
have to buy the CD. It's called The Space Plumbers of... It's called Real Time or something. No, that's... I can't remember what it's called.
Did you do any method during the week where you sort of balanced more and more books on your head to see what it felt like?
We didn't really go too far. It was a Colin Baker episode. It wasn't worth bothering too hard about. But anyway, we got to do a signing because of that. And then you see all this, you know, this hundreds and hundreds of people coming for this signing who are... geeky, nerdy people, but so love what they're doing. You kind of think, but these people are much cooler than cool people who sit at home all day, terrified about what everyone will think about them. These people just love something and just love it completely, however bad a certain bit of it is.
Yeah, you can't buy that feeling.
Yeah, and it's great, and it's much cooler to be those people than it is to be... You know,
and it's the thing, who decides what sort of niche? We had one in, I will find so that I name check, but someone who sort of texted in being embarrassed, their sort of geeky embarrassment was that they go rambling.
Right.
And they go for walks, and, you know, Adam and I were discussing it. It's one of those things that's actually quite cool. It's just one of those things that you don't ever do when you're young for fear of being accused of being a geek.
But
I think most people, if they got into walking, would actually really get into it. Rambling's a lovely... fresh air thing to do.
It is.
And you can talk about jigsaws and biscuits and that sort of nonsense. So we'll read out some texts and we'll see if we can identify the geek of the week, and then perhaps we'll go and talk about other stuff.
Cool.
There's a whole world out there we can talk about. But before we do anything else, we should play some Depeche Mode. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely. It's my motto.
So there we go, that's Tora 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 by Depeche Mode. It's gone two ways, this geek thing. We've got some geeks sort of clubbing together. We had a guy who texted in to say that he's obsessed with, like, maps of, you know, tube systems and whatnot. And Alison Harrogate texted straight in and says, please tell Jonathan in Bristol that there's a map on the internet that shows the motorway system in the style of an underground map. It's a real thing of beauty, and I've ordered one as a poster. Alison in Harrogate. So there you go, James, Jonathan in Bristol. But then sometimes, when geeks attack, we had someone who said that if they can't find their artwork for an album on iTunes, they draw it themselves and scan it in. And someone says, why would anyone get their album art from iTunes? They almost always have a ridiculous white border around them. A true geek gets his album art from Google Images or a dedicated album art website. So yeah, that little warning, if you are going to text in a geek thing, yeah, don't try and out-geek a geek, because the geeks will unite. Someone says Richard is right about Bad Science, an amazing book. The chapter on aromatherapy, apparently their favourite.
I don't remember that one.
There you go, conflicting evidence there. We had a very good one in. I have many geeky traits, but I feel the most relevant is that I used to write many letters to Stuart Lee and Richard Herring under the moniker Stuyvesant Harrison.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Even appeared on stage with them, singing a song about a Mexican fisherman and spelling the alphabet out with my body. To this day, it remains my proudest achievement.
That's sad, but it's a but I think I definitely remember that name and remember him. But it's kind of funny because now you kind of meet people. There's a comedian, I won't name her, but she's doing quite well on
so
the circuit.
So it's a woman.
Yeah, but she used to write to us like 4 times a week.
Right.
Though now I've noticed that she has a blog and she writes to Christa Berg like as a joke. And then prints it, asks him
sequence questions.
So maybe she was doing that to us as well.
Yeah.
But it's kind of straight, because it's so long ago. But we did used to respond to everyone and by hand as well.
Oh, nice.
It was the old days. There was no internet.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
So, you know,
you deliver them by hand.
He did. We'd
walk to their houses.
We send a man on a horse.
You tell the kids that these days with their emails from iPhones. It's nice to know, though, that you have that power. I think comedy is one of those jobs that you get into because you feel that when you watch other people and you think, oh, if I could have that magic in my life. But then once you get into it, that disappears completely. And when you do hear a story like that, that someone still remembers something so fondly,
yeah,
it sparks a bit of that, oh, God, that's why comedy's great.
Yeah, and it is nice. It's nice, you know, I think we sort of had the people who liked us, there weren't that many of them, but they've stayed very loyal to us. So it's nice to hear those kind of stories from people who are now presumably nearly 30.
Do you think of them as like friends now, because you almost
don't,
share a history.
Don't
no,
do that.
Nope.
No, okay, mustn't do that. It's dangerous.
No.
Yeah,
no, yeah, of course. Weakest Link advancements. Did you know that CJ got put out in the first round of the Weakest Link, which is the quiz show for Muppets? The Skeets in Fife. Hi, John, Richard, Adam and Jenny. Word has it that Kevin still lives with his mum in Winchester.
It was Winchester, though.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was Winchester, was it?
Well, maybe that's true. I'm not having people pick on Kevin Ashman. You know, there's nothing wrong with living with your mum.
Maybe he looks after his mum. He's exactly quite an old guy. Yeah. It's not like his mum must be at least 75.
And he's doing
it's not like
right
she's looking
himself
after him, yeah, cleaning his pants. He's probably incapacitated. He's devoted his life to her. He only goes on Eggheads to make the money
exactly
to pay.
Maybe she does clean his pants, but as a favour. Maybe he does so much for her that she doesn't mind cleaning his pants. Exactly. You know, she's just like, hey, Kev, it's the least I can do for you.
He must have hundreds of women after Eggheads.
Oh, yeah.
Banging down his door.
People after the Ash Man.
That's why he has to eat alone, because there's too much choice. It would be unfair.
Yeah, see my name and then effect. do you reckon you could use facts to chat people up in bars? He must know facts about everything. Just let me tell you a little something about that fabric you're wearing. And then do the fact and then go, and another fact is it's going to be on my bedroom floor in about 2 hours. Or something like that. You couldn't help but fall for it. I mean, if you were going to have a relationship with an egghead, it's going to be Kevin, isn't it? Because CJ just... Don't all stare at me like this, as if you haven't thought about it.
I would go for Judith Keppel, who is a posh a millionaire. Definitely.
Yeah, I forgot about
Judith.
She
spent it all, but I think she was a millionaire before she won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
And she's a woman as well.
Yeah, and she's related to Camilla Parker Bowles.
See, she's another one who's misunderstood. I think people say, oh, that Judith, she's a bit... But I think she's not. I think that's just her manner, is that she's a little bit standoffish. But when she does little jokes... I quite like it when you see someone who doesn't usually do jokes. It's quite a brave thing for them to do a bit of... You can all shut up. I don't even talk about the eggheads anymore.
I don't like the fact that they have a multiple choice on eggheads. I think it ruins it.
It's more for the contestants.
But isn't it? Then it makes it... Because often the eggheads don't know the answer, but it's obvious which one it is from the three. So it's only a real test of eggheadedness. Eggheads shouldn't have a 1 in 3 chance of just guessing. That's not an egghead.
So you think that the contestants should get a 1 for 3, but not the egghead?
No, I don't think anyone should. I think they should just ask them the question if they know the answer.
Wow.
That's what it should be about, not if, can you guess which of these three it is, because you can often discount one. I'm not being a geek about eggheads or anything.
Yeah, it sounds like it, mate.
It should be.
Sounds like somebody's
it should be
imagine,
a harder competition.
Imagining yourself having this question with Kevin over breakfast.
I think often the other teams would beat the eggheads if the eggheads didn't have a multiple choice. They managed to guess it.
You think teams are better? I hate switching on eggheads and seeing a team of, like, 18-year-olds. What are you doing? You are never going to win this. Just go away and learn some stuff and then come back and then take on the might of the egg. What other TV do you like?
What other TV?
What's your fetish TV? Because I
get really obsessed because I've got Sky Plus now and everything. Mm. I've got really obsessed with Goodnight Sweetheart.
Really?
Yeah, just unbelievably obsessed with it.
How
I watched it twice
happened?
All the way through. I just like watching it, and then it's rubbish, but I think the actual central idea of it is genius. It's kind of like Life on Mars.
It's a guy who lives in two time zones.
It's a guy who finds a time tunnel back to the war. But it's like written like a really crappy sitcom, but it's like actually a really...
As if it's a really crappy...
It's like a high concept idea that if they did it really well... And the guy has the ability to travel through time, and all he does is goes to the first pub he finds and gets off with the lantern. And then kind of has to live a double life. And then pretends he's written Elton John's songs. It's really crap.
Oh, does he do that?
Yeah.
So, that's the big debate you had, isn't
it? So it's really bad, but I'm obsessed with it. Diagnosis Murder. I'm obsessed with Diagnosis Murder.
Right, that's Dick Van Dyke, isn't it?
Yeah. And then I've just I just saw something on Channel 5 recently, which is a post-diagnosis murder program that's sort of exactly the same.
Diagnosis Autopsy.
But it's called Murder 101, but now Dick Van Dyke is a lecturer and Barry Van Dyke isn't his son. He's just he's a policeman, I think, as well. But they've obviously lost the rights to do Diagnosis Murder. But Dick Van Dyke is now a bit too old and slightly mumbly, and he's kind of slightly losing it. And Barry Van Dyke is also a bit too old to be playing. He's, like, obviously 55, but he's playing this kind of romantic lead where he's kissing these young women, and it's a little bit Woody Allen and a bit unpleasant. And Barry Van Dyke is quite rubbish as an actor. I think he might have got the job more... from who his dad was.
Nepotism.
Maybe they auditioned him and they went, you are the best. Maybe they did.
Yeah.
He isn't a very good actor.
I really like that Van Dyke thing you do, being called Van Dyke.
But then now in that one, Barry Van Dyke's sons are also in it as well. In Diagnosis Murder, the Van Dykes are all in it all the time.
Wow.
But in Murder 101 or whatever it's called, I don't think it's called, it's something like that. The younger characters are Barry Van Dyke's sons, but they're also not related to Barry Van Dyke. So, and they're actually quite good looking. They've somehow managed to skip the Van Dyke.
It's quite a terrifying concept, isn't it? Van Dyke sort of, generations will just carry on and carry on. Like, the Cosbys never did that, did they? Right. The Cosbys had their time and then it went. But Van Dyke's...
But it's kind of slightly upset because you kind of think Dick Van Dyke is in his 80s, I think, now. And it is slightly... In Diagnosis Murder, he's sprightly, he's on roller skates...
Really? I've seen that episode.
The first series of Diagnosis
he's
Murder.
He's thinking that's of a tampon advert.
He's quirky. He's this quirky doctor who gets around the hospital on roller skates, but they drop that as the series is going on. And also, you can see it's a stunt double doing a lot of it.
Yeah.
That's
depressing, isn't it?
So I'm kind of getting into these kind of... I've got The Wire on DVD, but I haven't watched it yet. But everyone's saying that's really good.
Just got into it. I'm halfway through the first series. I've been saving it for years.
But everyone, I just get obsessed with really terrible things. I've been watching 30 Rock, which I've been taking, which is all right.
Right.
That's properly quite good.
It's a weird debate to have, isn't it? Perhaps we'll have it. We'll have Walking on a Dream by Empire of the Sun. And it's weird what constitutes bad TV, because everyone goes, oh, I watch this, it's terrible. I watch this, it's terrible. But then if everybody watches it... and talks about it and laughs about it, then it's probably not bad. Yeah. But then I'm not giving you that time-travelling sitcom, because
oh, man,
that is just
it.
bad. That's a concept that an 8-year-old came up with. It's a man and he's married, but then
I want to rewrite it. I think it's brilliant. I've written this article, Gary Sparrow's Poor Steve Ambition, about the fact that he doesn't use his powers. As anyone should.
I think we found the geek of the week.
BBC Six Music.
That is Walking on a Dream by Empire of the Sun. We will play that for Tom in Eastbourne, who is our good person of the week, who's done a good deed that wasn't that good.
Wasn't that good. And he showed off about it, which ruins it.
Well, that's the whole point, is that I encourage people to show off.
Because
but
the really good people will sit and go, well, I won't show off, even though John wants me
to.
Oh,
do you think?
So it's someone at home who has done something beautiful.
But I think that's why a lot of good deeds don't get done, is because really, we all do them because we want people to find out about them. Yeah. And I think I'd rather people were arrogant about doing good things than about other stuff.
True.
You know, because I think people, there's nothing wrong with wanting people to find out you're a good person, I think.
No. If you're not a good person, though, and you're just doing it to make people think you are a good person.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's what Tom's done.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're applying. All right. Tom is our evil liar of the week. Geek of the week. We have to end now. It's really kicked off, and people are now applying for the role of geek of the week. So this is perhaps something that we will pick up in weeks to come. So I will take all the emails home with me this week. I'll sort through them, and we'll find some way of incorporating all the geeks so that they all get mentioned at some point. Plenty more chat with Richard Herring to come and Matt Ford in at 12 o'clock. But now it's time for the Six Music News at 11:30. On digital. There we go, that's Ulysses by Fran Ferdinand. I never know whether to talk over. I always try and talk over that skibbity-bibbity bit at the end, thinking that it's less of an issue than if you talk over, like, music or piano or something. But then it's more distracting. It's kind of like I'm a robot that's malfunctioning. People expect me to go... put a dampener on things, the news that Tony Hart has died, because I was having fun this morning, we've all had a laugh, and it's one of those things that I think you can't really not acknowledge when someone like that dies. I was out when I heard the news in the main bit there, and everyone in Six Music made the same noise, and I don't think anyone in the country won't, when they hear that news, go, oh. Let's put a dampener on
it. It's now I'm sad. I'm too
sad. So I think only right that we just acknowledge it, I think, and then we'll move on because, you know, that's what we're here for, is to put smiles on people's faces. So we'll do that. But we will take a moment to acknowledge Tony Hart, who was a benevolent person. I think one of those people that just, perfect person and only fond memories of. So this is a session track now. This is The Saints Are Coming by Skids, and we'll tell you the details about it afterwards. The Saints Are Coming by Skids, and I said I'll give you the details of when that was recorded, and don't go fooling around and thinking the fact that I've put it slightly out of arm's reach means I won't do it. That was recorded for John Peel on Radio 1 on the 29th of August, 1978. But hey, telling you stuff you already knew. Someone's texted in, we briefly mentioned The Wire. Someone says you should leave the studio now and go and watch The Wire. You'll lose an entire week of your life, but it'll be worth it.
Okay.
Hugo from Stoke Newington. Halfway through the first series... I'm enjoying it. Do you know what I mean? I'm not... Because it is. I mean, you've clearly had the same where everyone goes, I can't believe you haven't watched it. There's just no point being alive if you haven't watched The Wire. And it's very good, the first series. I'm having it as my sort of when I go to bed thing. I watch an episode of The Wire in bed. Mm-hmm. And then I drift off with my thoughts filled of drug-addled murderers and have sweet dreams. My speaking of amazing telly, my thing is Wipeout. Have you seen Wipeout?
Oh, yeah. I used to watch it.
Paul Daniels. Wipeout!
What is it?
New Wipeout, which is basically torture TV. It's an assault course, but one that can't possibly be completed. I was on it this week.
Were you?
Yeah.
Our last competitor looking for a place in the top 12 is 27-year-old radio DJ John. Taking on the sucker punch now. Once was enough.
Yeah, there we go. That was me on Wipeout. I don't know if you caught that this week. Of course, I'm not 27. It wasn't me. But I would like to do Wipeout. Have you seen the assault course bit?
I think so. I think it sounds familiar.
Just proper slapstick. I nearly didn't go to the gym yesterday because I couldn't not watch it. And I knew I was going to watch it again on iPlayer while I have my lunch at some point this week. And then I finally, it finished and I went to the gym and they had You've Been Framed on the on the plasma screens. At the gym. Well, the good thing is that a smile actually looks like a grimace. So if you sit on one of the machines and just put your hands on the thing but don't actually exert any force and laugh, it looks like you're going, when really it's just old women getting slammed in the face. Are you into all that You've Been Framed stuff? It really splits people. Some people think it's, you know, immature.
I like it now that Harry Hill's doing it, but only he's funnier than the clips. The clips have got a little bit predictable.
Yeah.
There's only so many things that you can do.
Well, I would argue that you can do those over and over again.
They do.
The day I tire of watching someone walk into a glass door is the day a part of John Richardson has gone never to return, because that is... And I put it to, you know, I think it's quite a philosophical thing. I don't think you're laughing. People used to say, oh, it's horrible, you're just laughing at other people's pain. But I think deep down what you're laughing at is your own frailties as a human being, and how really, don't we all sometimes walk into metaphorical glass doors and...
And literal ones as well, sometimes.
Yes.
But are we being filmed while we do it?
That argument does fall down with the fact that it is inevitably funnier when it's an old woman, which doesn't really carry weight with the argument.
How come it's still £250 a clip, though? It's been £250 a clip for 20 years. Yeah. It's not gone up at all, that amount of money.
Yeah, and the repeat fees.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's very... You're bought out for £250. That is really bad money.
But it's one of those things that...
Prime time ITV.
What else are you going to do? Hold out for a bigger deal?
Yeah, like, if you've got a really funny one.
What I never understand, if You've Been Framed pay for it and then it gets used on like the American one, or, you know, Old Women Fall Through the Funniest Things or whatever the shows are, do they pay for it as well, or have you been bought out completely?
I'd be surprised, unless you've got a manager.
Do you reckon we've got anyone?
Say demanding.
My name's Jimmy, I'm a slapstick manager. You walk into something, you call me.
I think you bet £250, they go, we own that now. That's ours. You can't even have a copy back.
Do you reckon we've got anyone listening who's been on You've Been Framed? It's the sort of thing that would be easy.
It's a big crossover between you and You've Been Framed. Yeah. I think most people will have had at least one video on
YouTube. I spend most of my week talking about it, Wipeout and whatnot. I play my favourite clips. We also had another, because I have a regional accent, we get quite a lot of people saying, oh, you sound like this. And basically, it's racism. But since I also take any opportunity to do a regional accent when someone emails in, Sarah emailed in to say, I've got toddlers and I'm forced to watch children's TV, and I didn't know that you did the voiceover for the character of Scribble on Doodle Doo.
Hello. I love listening to stories. Why don't you choose
the
story by clicking on the link?
It's not even fair, is it? I don't sound anything like hello. Anyway, Sarah, I hope you're enjoying the show today. You can shove it. Teardrop by Massive Attack. It's John Richardson, still joined by Mr. Richard Herring, leafing through the news of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Catching up with all the big stories. What's their slant on Gaza? What they...
that Kerry Katona's been there and taken their top off. I don't know if that was it. There is one page about the Gaza.
Oh, is there? Okay, yeah. Fair enough. What page number?
It's page 15. It's 15. It's the page after Kerry. You can see Kerry Katona's breasts, and they're not... It's not really... It's not worth
inverted
buying.
Inverted commas.
Just have a... Go to the news agent, just flick to page 413 and have a quick look.
They frown upon that kind of thing, my news agents. We had an email in for you. I forgot about it.
Oh, yeah.
Dear John and Richard Herring, I'm having a dinner party in a couple of weeks. There will be about 10 to 15 people attending, five of whom are vegetarians. John, as I know you're a person who likes to cook, and Richard, I know you're a person who likes to eat, what would you suggest that I cook? I made Indian for the last one. I'm on a bit of a loss this time. Any help or insight would be great and much appreciated. That's from Kate Cunningham in Dublin. Are you a dinner party man?
I'm really not. I can't really cook.
You're like Kevin from Egghead.
I sometimes eat at home, but I'm embarrassed to have people around for dinner. I sometimes cook for very close friends.
Do you like to attend?
I was single for a long time, so you don't get invited to dinner parties when you're single. And so then you don't have them because you don't... And then, it's a bit of a... I wouldn't know what to cook.
Do you like to attend them when invited? Do you like the vibe?
I kind of do. I mean, it's quite nice to go and have some food with some friends, but it's a little
bit... Get scattergreed out.
It's a bit grown up. I'm not that grown up.
Are you not?
Even though I am grown up, I'm not.
Do you still go to foam parties?
It feels a little bit, you know, then I have to remind myself I am 41 years old and I should be going to dinner parties. But
well, as we said before, there's no, you know, you do what you like when you like. It's true. Don't apologise. Maybe it's not a dinner party problem.
You're at work a lot, aren't you? That's the thing. As a comedian, when you get a night off, you kind of just think, oh.
But that's why I love them, because I like the pace of them. And if I have got a night off where I fancy seeing people, I'd much rather that was in somewhere where I'm comfortable, i.e. a house, mm-hmm. eating a bit of food, drinking what you like, when you like, but not going out and having to drink a lot and other people touching me and...
Did they touch you?
They bump you and then they're in the toilet and then bits of their wee go on you.
In the toilet, they touch you in the toilet.
Well, no, but people get drunk and they go to the urinal and their wee splashes on you and they don't notice because they're drunk, and because they're drunk, they're volatile and you shouldn't
go
just
in
go...
in the cubicle.
Oh, well, what if the cubicles are busy? And the cubicles are often in a right state, because people go in the cubicle and take that as carte blanche to just go where they like.
It sounds to me you like being weed on. And you've got all these excuses. You like the wee splashing back on you.
Yeah.
You've got these convenient excuses as to why you don't like it. But, oh, still, you keep going back into the urinals, don't you?
Yeah. I don't know why I kneel down when I wee as well. Maybe that's something to do with it. But I like the pace of a dinner party. Yeah. I like with only being people I like and not knowing that someone else is going to get involved. And I will book dinner parties. You consider yourself invited
to a swinger party.
That's
great.
Get a few comedians round, cook some food, talk about other comedians in bad terms, and then talk about other stuff, get the whiskey out, throw up in the toilet, and never be able to see those comics ever again. That's how it goes. Yeah. What do you like to eat, then? Maybe you can help Kate in that
sense. I'm very unfussy now. I used to be vegetarian, but now I eat absolutely everything, so I'm just happy with anything put in front of me.
What made you not be a vegetarian anymore?
I became vegetarian when I was 18. I've been very fussy, but I think you make those choices when you're 18, and then I got to about 34. And
I thought, vegetarian for a fortnight when I was about 15, I think.
But you kind of think, I don't believe anything else I believed when I was, that I was 18. And also, I just really missed meat.
Happiness.
But I just really wanted to eat meat again. I really was craving it. And I thought I don't believe in this enough anymore to put people to the inconvenience of having to think about what they're going to cook me at a dinner party. If you really believe it, I think it's I think there's a lot to say for it. And I'm glad, I did it for 13 years, something like that, so.
I'd just do a roast. We've got that many people coming round.
Some of them are vegetarians.
Do a lentil roast. That's what my mum does. And you pitch a nut roast, which is horrible, roast, but lentil roast is delicious.
Okay.
Do a lentil. We put a recipe up on the website for some time, didn't we, for lentil roast? But I think I make a mistake a lot because my mum's vegetarian and my sister, so we go out for meals at restaurants that aren't used to having vegetarians, and they just think, oh, vegetables, innit? So they just do like a plate of vegetables, but they'll mix it in with rice and call it like special rice vegetable surprise. And you know, my big tip when catering for a vegetarian is do remember the lubricant, because they're very often served very dry meals.
Yes,
there's, you know, vegetarians like a gravy or a tomato sauce or something like that, so that would be my tip. And my tip for a simple and easy dessert is just to get a meringue, put some ice cream on it, and then scoop out a passion fruit, put that on top of it.
Sweet.
Unbelievable. This is Passion Pit. Do you see what I did then? We will have this, and then we'll discuss your tour, because you're going nationwide with your mirth.
I really am.
And we'll discuss that after Sleepyhead. There we go, Sleepyhead by Passion Pit. So, you're off wonderfully, you're on tour.
Yes.
You're going, I know, so you're not going to Swindon.
I'm not going to Swindon this. I don't think I've been to Swindon for a little while. They did the worst sandwiches at the Swindon Arts Centre I think I've ever had.
Really?
And that might be why I commented it on my blog, and maybe they don't want me back now.
Maybe. I was sent in a wonderful gift this week that I think will be of some interest to you.
Yeah.
May make you regret your decision. This is a calendar that was sent to me this week. Swindon's Magic Roundabouts 2009.
Oh, wow.
Stole pictures of some of the best roundabouts in the Swindon area. little comments about them. I like the little annotations underneath, like, good roundabout, nice paving, slightly chipped above the curb. So I'm not going to Swindon, but going everywhere else.
I'll probably drive through Swindon now. I've seen this to have a look at some of the roundabouts.
Yeah, well, there'll be some venues. Like, I noticed you're doing Tewkesbury quite soon.
I am, at the end of the month, of January,
so
yeah.
You'll probably go through Swindon there.
Yeah.
You'll be going up the A419, but do have a dip into Swindon. Have a look at the Magic Roundabout.
I'll have a look. It's been a while since I've been there.
Quite a two-week run in London. So
yeah,
that's good.
At the Leicester Square Theatre, that should be nice.
Some lovely venues. Comedia in Bath, that's very nice.
Yeah, I haven't done that one yet. I've heard that's very good.
Oh, really nice. Warwick Arts Centre. Lovely venue, Harrogate. You're basically everywhere, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. So it's people can find March and April, basically. There's a few at the end of January as well that are extra ones.
Do you like touring?
I kind of do and I don't. It's a bit lonely and it's the driving. I do it completely on my own now, so I don't take a tour manager or anything. And the driving is kind of exhausting and sometimes... I'm getting a bit old. I kind of carry all my props and programs and stuff around on my own. And I was doing it last time. I was in Durham and I had to carry them up a hill. And I kind of thought, I wonder if Ricky Gervais has to do this on his tours. I had to go to Bristol after Durham, which is a terrible drive anyway.
Good bit of planning.
And then there was a massive accident that I wasn't involved in that stopped me. So I left plenty of time to drive to Durham to Bristol, but I got to Bristol 5 minutes after the gig was meant to start. So I had to kind of go straight onto stage. And then I drove back to London. Right. I was really ill for about a week after
that. I just finished Frank Skinner's On the Road autobiography, and it's when you know you're writing a book about the experience, it takes some of the, roughness away from, like you say, there are some genuinely quite depressing moments.
Yeah.
Some Kevin Ashman moments. Quite happy having a pizza on my own, but I'd like to have chosen to have done this rather than this being what I've done for the last 7 days.
Yeah, it's hard. It's lonely and it's hard and it's really tiring. The better the gigs go, in a way, the harder it becomes, because then you kind of do you do a big gig and you make 300, 400 people really laugh, and then you just literally go back to your hotel or get in your car. It's worse when you go back to the hotel and you sort of sit in the bar and have a drink and there's loads of businessmen around.
Yeah.
You just suddenly, you come down off this high into feeling like the loneliest you've
ever been. It's like what I was saying about wanting people to know when you do a good deed. It's something that, it's a horrible, dirty feeling and you're ashamed of it, but you do want to be sat in that bar and just be able to say, listen, I don't know if you know what I just did, where you're staring at me talking about the new paper towel you've invented, but you can't ever do that. It's a horrible thing to do. But I remember one of the tour dates we did with Alan Carr was on my birthday. And it was at Yeovil Octagon, 600 people, and he got them to sing Happy Birthday.
Aww.
And it was lovely, and I nearly cried, and then literally drove to an out-of-town Holiday Inn and had a bottle of Martini Asti, took a picture of myself in the mirror drinking it, and that such a change of pace. Like, yeah, party. Oh, party.
But, I do enjoy it, and the gigs are great. And I've been doing it, sort of the solo tours, pretty much every year for the last...
Yeah.
Or 9 years, really. But the last 4 or 5 years, it's really noticeably kind of picking up and more people are coming every year. And, I've been enjoying it a lot more in the last 4 or 5 years. So I'm kind of looking forward to it, but I'm aware that it's exhausting. And the older I get, the more I'm aware every year it's just going to take it out of me a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
It's a young man's game. You're a young man. You can still do it.
Yeah, but I'm old inside. The heart of a 65-year-old. There's not much I can do. I think probably, you're right, people do know what you do. But for my part, if anyone doesn't know what Richard does, I can heartily recommend that you go on tour. Get hold of the that's all gone yellow, Adam, and I'm scared. Get hold of the podcast and listen to you and Andrew Collins.
Yeah, we do the Andrew Collins podcast. You can find out the tour dates on my website, richardherring.com. It's the Headmaster Sunday. This year's show's kind of about my...
of course, yeah.
About my school days. My dad was my headmaster.
Where do people find out? Because there are quotes that outline how good it was and what the tour is about. But it's a sort of look back, isn't it? A retrospective.
Yeah, yeah. It's just that, it's looking back. I thought I'd done a lot about turning 40 and my midlife crisis. So I thought I'd just do something about my teenage years, which is quite... And I've got my diaries, which I've kept... And it's actually gold dust. It's made me realise I probably don't have to do any work for the next 2 or 3 years. I can read out of my diaries that I fastidiously wrote.
Have you not looked at them over the time, or have you...
A little bit, but I think just like really going back to it, and with that distance of time between it, you really start to look at what an idiot you were, and you really understand how stupid you were. And that's
what amazes me about these sort of... you see Rooney doing an autobiography at 19 and stuff like that, and you think, there's no diary I've written where I haven't looked back the week after and hated the person I was.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine having put that out to the world and then looking back 50 years later and going, what am I doing?
I know, yeah. Well, it is a weird... But I write in my blog every day as well, so I wonder whether in 30 years' time I'll look at my blog and go, oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
How embarrassing. But, your diary is more embarrassing. I found this one the other day that isn't in the show. I might start putting it in, just of my teenage angst, me telling the world to F off and off, and, you know, I'm really it's written in big capital letters, I get, and then as a gradually as I calm down, it goes into kind of just handwriting.
Yeah, but just leave me alone.
It's just full of just this, I want to kill my sister, and you'd think, if you found that one out of context, you'd think I was about to go into school the next day and gun everyone down.
Yeah.
I was the most well-behaved, sweet, kind of, you know, trying to be funny all the time. It's just,
you took it out on the world of poetry.
I did, there's poems. It's really embarrassing. It's true.
Thank you so much for coming in.
No, my pleasure.
Release you now. The first tour date officially is in a month, but there's a warm-up gig coming up in Tewkesbury, but starts officially in a month. Go and find Richard Herring in the Headmaster's Son. We will get Matt Ford on the line, not on the line, in the studio now. On the line, I wish. That'd clear the BO smell out of the studio. This, in the meantime, is On My Shoulders by The Duke.